name is Rosina George. I'm honored and proud to be talking about Sacagawea, one of the most famous women in history. I'm a great, 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 great niece of Sacagawea. I, like Sacagawea, I'm a Agaidica Shoshone. Originally, I'm from Salmon, Idaho.
On today's Turtle Island Storytellers, Rosina George tells of her great, 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 great aunt, Sacagawea, who was captured as a child and then reunited with her family as a member of the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Sacagawea was 12 years old in 1800 when her people were camped along the Three Forks of the Missouri River in their buffalo hunting territory when a band of Minotaur Indians attacked them. They killed men, women, and children. They captured all the female that were living and four boys. Sacagawea's mother was killed, and Sacagawea was one of the children captured and made prisoners by the Minotauris. Now we know them as the Hadassahs. Because of this atrocity in her life, she ended up in the annals of history. It was in the Hadassah village that Sacagawea was held a captive and eventually purchased by a French trapper trader, Toussaint Charbonneau. It was for 4 years that she was held a captive, and in the winter of 1804, she had the opportunity to come home. A group of white men were going to her country. They hired Toussaint Charbonneau as an interpreter, and she had no choice but to go along. Now we know it was the opportunity for her to come home. So it was on August 11th, 1805, these four men encountered Agaidica warrior. He was on a horse, and he was dressed differently from the prior tribes they encountered. He had buckskin, and what was unique was that he had hair locks on his breech cloth. So it was in August of 1805 that Sacagawea returned to her people with a Lewis and Clark expedition. She shared her cultural knowledge with Meriwether Lewis and three men that were proceeding ahead. She gave them advice on how to approach our people, the protocol to approach our people. The first thing they did when they saw this warrior was take a blanket and throw it up in the air three times. This meant, we're not here to harm you. And another thing they did was they started approaching him and showing him gifts. It's all native tribes do that, gift giving. During this time when Lewis and Clark were coming through, we were doing a transition from our salmon hunting to our buffalo hunting. And when we go to our buffalo hunting territory in present-day Montana, we had to be very cautious because not only would we be there in that buffalo hunting territory, so would be the Blackfeet and the Hadassahs, other tribes, our traditional enemies. They were out there too, and they were willing to attack for our horses. And so during this time period, we would ally with the Flatheads and sometimes the Nez Perces to protect ourselves. And so that's why this scout, this Agaidica warrior, was sent ahead to do reconnaissance. And eventually these four men proceeded on. They made contact with an elder woman and a young girl. They were on the ground digging. They were on getting roots. The young woman saw them and ran away. And so what this elder did was she got on her knees and bowed down, and then the young girl stayed with her and was willing to suffer the consequences with her grandma. So she bowed down, put her arms around her grandmother, and was waiting for their, more likely, their demise. Instead, what Lewis did was take this elder by the hand, pick her up, gave her the gifts, and then the next thing he did that was very important, very significant, was putting the sacred paint of our people on the elder's face. Oh, it's a red, sacred red paint. and was put on her forehead, on the side of her face, crossed her cheeks. I asked an elder what this meant, and they told me it meant that person that is doing that was blessing that person. So that was noted in the journals. The chief, the leader of the people, with about 60 men, came riding up, and the elder woman, the young woman, were able to tell them what happened, and most importantly was what they did to them, the sacred paint ceremony. You know, our people have never seen white men, never. Who were they? Spirit beings sent? Where are they from? So it was something unusual for them, for our people, to encounter these people that were giving them items that they have never seen. And this prevented the demise of these four men. These guys would have been killed immediately had they not known what to do. And so eventually they had a pipe ceremony, and the pipe ceremony is also sacred. With pipe ceremonies, you're determining if these people, you're testing their integrity, and they're committing their words to all the different beings of the Mother Earth. In the journals, they mentioned a 2-foot circle they made on the floor of the lodge, and in the center they built a fire. And when they pray, our people prayed to the four directions with a pipe, and then they put the pipe towards the Mother Earth and up to the heavens, praying to the Creator. What Lewis was doing when he was participating in this ceremony, he was committing himself as a vow. They immediately put up a lodge when they encountered them. It's because they wanted to see if this man's integrity, his heart, his trustworthiness, to see if he's a worthy man. He's committing himself not only to these people, but to all the spirit beings and to the higher Creator, and then to Mother Earth. And we know Lewis didn't understand what he was getting himself into. That ceremony was done, and right afterwards, on August 17, 1805, Sacagawea was reunited with her people in Montana, across from Lemhi Pass, where present-day Clarksville Reservoir is. That's where Sacagawea encountered her people. And this is what Clark had to say when she saw her people. She danced for a joyful sight. She couldn't speak English, so how she communicated to him was through sign, Indian sign language. She said, "I am a Gaidika Shoshone," and that she said, "This is my nation," and she said, "These are my people." When she was walking on Mother Earth, she was able to identify who she was. And then she was reunited with a childhood friend that escaped from the Minotaurs or the Hadassahs and came back to her people. And on that same day, she was reunited with her brother. This was documented in the journals too. And it was written by Lewis. And this is what he had to say. "Shortly after, Captain Clark arrived with interpreter Charbonneau, an Indian woman, who proved to be the sister of the chief, proved to be the brother of Sacagawea. And that's the lineage that I come through."
Special thanks to Sacagawea's descendant, Rosina George, who recently helped to initiate the Sacagawea Interpretive, Cultural, and Education Center in Salmon, Idaho. On today's program, we have learned more about the Agaidica people, the Lemhi Shoshone of Idaho. We have enjoyed their music, art, and language, and appreciated the strength and endurance of Sacagawea and her descendants. We can identify with the pride they feel for their historic heroine, who continues to serve as a role model for millions around the world. Many of us can also empathize with the plight of the Lemhi, who feel like refugees far from the healing sights and sounds and traditional foods of their homeland in the Idaho Panhandle. The Lemhi have advised us to teach Americans the truth about the first Americans, to have respect for all things, beginning with oneself, to teach the children to have pride in their culture and heritage, for it is good, to believe in themselves, for the Creator sees all His children as being equal, and to give each child the opportunity to grow and learn with the rich history and knowledge of their forefathers. Emma George says, "With this knowledge, the child can stand strong without doubt and fear of their own worth. Only then can they begin to grow, and this we ask for our future generations." Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom of the Elders. I'm Arlie Neskai. Hagoanet, till we meet again.
Wisdom of the Elders Radio is produced in Portland, Oregon, with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail at National Park Service, the Benton Foundation, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the Oregon Arts Commission. Special thanks to our team, producers Clark Salisbury, Brian Bull, Judy Bluehorse Skelton, Don Addison, Bruce Crespin, Mary Sando Imula, and Carl Shanks. Story editor and director Larry Johnson. Program host Arlie Neskahai. Tribal Rhythms host Nico Wind. Web team Clark Salisbury and Sean Dillon. Archivist Paul Woodsong. Tribal liaison Elaine Lanigan. Transcriber Anna Kastner. Distribution manager Beth Dillon. Executive producer Rose Highbear. Special thanks to our friends at Jack Straw Productions, Seattle, Washington. To Deborah Crosswell at the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. To our educational scholars, Larry McClure, Ray DeMolly, Sally Thompson, Jim Ronda, and Lauren Olson. And to American Indian Radio on satellite. Thanks to Paul Eubanks at Ten Wolves Productions and to Nico Wynn for providing our theme sounds. And special thanks to all the recording artists and music producers who generously shared their music for our program.